A Call to Repentance, July 2, 1903, typed.
How wonderful is the thought that God became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. John 1, verse 1 to 5, 14. How can men claim to believe these words, and to be followers of Christ, and yet go on in their blind selfishness, following their perverted ideas? I call upon those connected with our institutions to repent and be converted, that Christ may unite His power with their humanity and give them strength to live out the principles of God's law. True faith in Christ is invincible. God will not serve with men's sins. With Him, human wisdom is foolishness. He condemns the worldly principles that, to a large extent, have become current in the institutions established to reveal the principles of heaven to a world dead in trespasses and sins. He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." 1 Peter 1, verse 16. Every institution established among us needs to cherish principles of a higher order than have been cherished for years. The Lord's institutions are to be conducted in His wisdom, not in the wisdom of men. By the judgments that have come upon our two largest institutions, God has spoken to the workers employed in them and to all in our other institutions, declaring that there is to be a reformation among them. He has declared that He will cleanse the institutions into which corruption has been brought, as Christ, when upon this earth, cleansed the temple. We need to tremble for the future, unless men's ideas of right and wrong are entirely changed. Those who have been blessed with great opportunities and privileges are not to act as worldlings, but as children of the light, subjects of Christ's kingdom. Worldly policy is never to be introduced into their work. In the habits and practices of many of the members of our churches, worldliness and earthliness predominate. There has been a turning aside from the commands of God. But many of those in God's service who ought to stand forth faithful and just, as true as steel to principle, are governed by the same spirit that governs worldlings. They carry into their work the principles of the world and then attempt to justify their course of action. Maxims and principles born in the natural heart have been polluting the places where God's Spirit should love to dwell. Deceived by their own hearts, men are teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. They are measuring themselves by themselves. They make a profession of godliness while in their lives much ungodliness exists. The world, lynx-eyed, sees that their practice is not in harmony with their profession, and it scorns the pretense of those who claim to believe that the day of the Lord is near and hasteth greatly, while, by ungodly lives, they are preparing for their own destruction. Words are spoken and deeds done under the cloak of righteousness, which are registered in the books of heaven as grievous sins. Men barter for worldly gain things of eternal importance. They betray sacred trusts to gain some advantage, and they will at last sell their Lord, even as Judas sold Him. Men say, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are we." Jeremiah 7, verse 4. Let them remember that God expects those who make this claim to bring true religion into the home, into the church, and into their business transactions. Do their dealings stand out pure and clean and fragrant? Do they in all places and under all circumstances give Christ the honor due Him in righteous works because they bear His name? To all in responsible positions in the Lord's work, I am instructed to say, beware lest you lay the least stumbling block in the way of those who are watching for flaws in the lives of Seventh-day Adventists. When God's professing people halt between two opinions and then go over to the side of the world, Satan and his angels hold a jubilee. The condition of things in the world shows the result of following Satan's principles. The result of following the principles of heaven is to be as plainly revealed as the directions that the Lord has given his people are plain and explicit. Christ came to show men and women that there is a God to be honored and a heaven to be won. He came to show them how to develop the character that God requires his children to develop, a character not formed after earthly principles, but after divine similitude. God will at last wither and blight all that has been carried on in opposition to his will.
Let us not drag down the truth of heavenly origin to make it minister to unconsecrated plans and methods. Let us remember that calamity has been allowed to come upon two of our institutions because there has been a departure from God and a bringing in of worldly principles. Men have conducted their business transactions in a way that has brought them under the condemnation of the law of God. The Lord calls his people to a repentance that needs not to be repented of. My brethren, amidst all your business cares, remember that you have taken upon you the name of Christ. Say, I am a Christian, and therefore I cannot act upon the maxim that the end justifies the means. I must love my neighbor as myself. I must do to others as, under similar circumstances, I should wish them to do to me. I must not benefit myself at the expense of my neighbor. Never must I connive at the sins that nailed my Savior to the cross of Calvary. I must not crucify the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Hebrews 6, verse 6. Those who take the name of Christians must live lives free from the least taint of impurity. In all they do, they are to make Christ's principles their guide. He who makes plans to benefit himself at the expense of another is charged in the books of heaven with disloyalty to the principles of a pure, holy gospel. It is because our churches are not what they should be that the work of God does not make more rapid advancement. Many of those professing godliness are treasuring up to themselves wrath against the day of wrath. God's family of children on this earth is still small because the professed followers of Christ continue to grieve his heart of love by their schemes and contrivances, by unchristlike words and deeds, closing the door of the heart against him. I beseech those connected with the work of God to take no advantage of those connected with them. A reformation is indeed greatly needed. Let each one be determined to guard carefully every phase of his character, so that he shall not dishonor God by following perverted principles. Let all place themselves under the discipline of God, that, should their lives be suddenly taken from them, their record will be such that in the day of God they can meet it with joy and not with shame.